Hello.
You can hear?
I can hear.
Yeah, the beast has got her cans on. And it turns me on so much when she uses that term, cans.
I think that's weird.
I usually hear it from overweight, unhealthy, pockmarked DJs who are doing the overnight shift. And that's with whom I share my life because I haven't focused and actually made something of myself in the world of radio. But now I have my hot wife using the term cans for headphones. Oh, yeah. Well, it is E-Way and the Beast. It has been a couple weeks. I don't know what has happened. We've been busy.
Yeah. Weekend from hell. Oh, I mean, not in a bad way, just way too busy.
I walked the dark path. The dark, collegiate, drunkard path. It's amazing. My favorite kind of drunks are the ones that just tackle you, blindside you. Honey, I'm going to the Rockies game. Going to have a pleasant evening at the park. I was thinking, I didn't even want to go. I was going to be back, at 10?
I knew you weren't going to be back.
I'm glad that you don't have faith in me in that, so you weren't disappointed.
No, yeah, I was pretty much new.
Trivia coming up.
E-wee. 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 E-wee.
Oh, God. Abomination.
E-wee and the Beast. Beast. This is E-wee and the Beast.
My name's Francis Sawyer, but everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Tiny?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know the movie?
I'm sure I do, but I can't think of it.
Give you some hints?
No, just tell me.
It's not fun that way.
Sure it is. I want to know.
I want people listening to... Those who don't know, they're like, oh, give us a hint. We want to play along. We want to have fun.
Oh, they probably all know.
But those who know, they still listen because they're like, is she going to get it? What's wrong with her?
I know. That's what I don't like.
So you just want to cop out. Let me just... This had a lot of SNL alum in it, including one who was recently pulled over for driving a golf cart drunk. Another, a very heavy man who's now dead.
Stop.
What?
Don't say anymore. I know it. I just can't think of a freaking name.
Oh, I thought that was your title guess.
No. Don't talk. I know this. I know it.
Do I have to break out the remedial clue?
No. I already know it. I just can't think of the name of it. Just stop.
Okay. For how long shall we stop the program?
All right, crap. Okay, it's not the Royal Tannenbaums. It's not, but it's the one, okay, it's the one with the kid in the school.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not Rushmore.
It's not?
No.
What is it?
It's 20 years pre-Rushmore.
Oh, well, all right.
Or 18 years.
Okay, never mind then.
Stars and...
What?
Stars and... Skunks have
stripes.
That's right. That was a little introduction scene there.
Yeah.
Young John Candy.
Dude, I should totally have known that.
Young Bill Murray.
Young Bill Murray.
Now, who's the guy who played the, what's the name of the guy who played the dorky guy on Ghostbusters? He's in that too. He looks like Jeff Goldblum kind of, but he's not.
Oh, he does not look like Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, well, a little bit. He reminds me of Jeff Goldblum. No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But
how can you be so certain?
Because.
Okay.
I'm observant.
Yeah, good job on the trivia.
Igor? Is that the guy you're talking about?
I think so.
I don't know. He's his in name. That.
There we go. Off to a roaring start. And
sorry. I'm bad.
That's okay. We have some trivia. Let me just give you the trivia question now.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. This is a fun little riddle.
No.
This could be a sign of the apocalypse, but it recently happened between the sparks and the shock. I mean, it's just hot off the press stuff.
Sharks, shocks, and what?
The sparks. And the shock.
No idea what you're talking about. Is this like in our car or something that happened?
It's a fairly big event. I mean, not a major event, but I mean, it does have apparently there must be someone who witnesses this thing take place on a regular basis throughout the summer, because it's still with us. And recently, two of this entity's major players did something. It was like when, I think it was it Yanni who was arrested for domestic abuse? And I thought, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. I mean, even if I was Yanni's wife and I was getting beaten up, I wouldn't call and admit that it's got beaten up by Yanni.
No.
But and this is something like that. It just overwhelms you that it would happen. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm sensitive. But this just happened between the sparks and the shock.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a fun little riddle. Now, listen, if you were like in The Hobbit or in some strange Middle Earth a fantasy, you can't just start whining at Gollum because you don't know the riddle. I don't care.
All right. Well, I can't make any good guesses. Evil then. Wins. That's no fun.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the news and stuff. Coming up, an interview with the Flowbots.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited. A good talk with James Laurie, a.k.a. Johnny Five. So that was good. And then, of course, we're dealing with something here, a little crisis here at the house.
What's that?
I have discontinued my cell phone service.
Congratulations.
And, dude, I kid you not, when I knew it was going to happen because I called it in, and I knew it was going to happen sometime, and this morning when I looked and there was really no signal, and then I called me from the home phone and it said I wasn't there anymore. It's just the coldest recording. It doesn't say, you know, Jared Ewey's not, doesn't have his phone anymore. It's just this T-Mobile customer is no longer available. What, just they like I'm another number.
The face of the earth.
And dude, I kid you not, I got a flash of when you woke me up to tell me my mother had died when I saw that there was no signal.
I know.
That seems a little... I know. You saw it on my blog. You didn't like it. But it's true. I was like, the reality of it. It's been 6 years.
That's great. I didn't know it had been 6 years.
At 1,000 minutes per month for 6 years, 6 and 12, 6, 72, 1,000 minutes? 72,000 minutes.
Times how much a month?
Well, it's been $40 a month. And that's what Carrie at T-Mobile was explaining to me. I called the cancel. And there was this real bored dude. Yeah, how can I help you, T-Mobile? And I'm like, I need to cancel. He's like, hold on, let me get Carrie. I had no idea what I was walking into. She was like a... You remember Big Hands from L.A. Story?
Big
Sarah
Hands?
Jessica Parker.
Oh, you call her Big Hands?
And she's like, I mean, yeah, she's perky and sexy, and she's complimenting me. It was like I was in Vegas. They're like, oh, you're so good with your money. You should gamble a little more. I actually bought that the first time I went. I'm like, yeah, I'm golden. But Carrie, oh, my God, like 20 minutes. If you're a bored trucker, give Carrie a call at T-Mobile. But I still managed to get through that.
So you still canceled it, though.
Yeah. And I mean, dude, in 10 minutes
and why
after...
Why didn't you put, like, a voicemail on your phone for the last 2 weeks saying, hey, for those of you who are calling, this is good, going to be disconnected.
I didn't think I was really going to do it. I didn't think I was going to do it. I kept thinking, no, I won't do it. I'm not going to.
Well, they do hold your number for a couple months.
I know, but I'm not going back.
Okay.
I'm pretty damn sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's give Carrie a call.
You're going to hear whispering at night. It'll be me talking to Carrie. I'm not sure if I want to cancel or not. Oh, she's all right. Yeah, I mean.
So I wonder how many people out there are just like wondering where you are.
Well, like 10 minutes into it, I was struck with essentially being handicapped in today's society. Because the boss at the plastic shop, I rode my bike up all sweating and huffing and happy making it on time. And he's standing out there. Like, where the hell were you? And I was like, what are you talking about? I've been calling your cell phone all morning. We're slow. We don't need you. and the way he reacted was like, he was offended that I didn't have a cell phone. I mean, it was, I guess I should have told him. That would have been better. Mm-hmm. But it's like, for example, my friend Jason. If he's trying to make plans to go out and the plans change and he's trying to get a hold of somebody, but either they don't answer the phone or they don't have a cell phone, he gets mad. He's like, why don't they have a cell phone? He gets really mad. So I'm going to have to be putting up with this. So I'm just going to tell everybody, like, listen, if plans change or, we're going out to dinner, we don't meet, and you're going somewhere else, we're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what this is going to force me to do?
Plan.
Yes. Plan, oh, and not, and I have to be on time. And like today, I told a friend I was going to pick her up for the movie, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, if I'm driving, and she was going to call if she didn't want to go, and I'm thinking, wait a second, I told her I'd be there at 6:25, and there's no way, and I always do it, I'm always calling.
As you're in the car.
Yeah, I'm like, we're late. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And there's another reason why you want a cell phone, so you can call people to make sure you don't walk in on something crazy. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying that was a little weird. And, you know, everybody just assumes you're going to be calling on the road because you're late. So there's one other thing. But I did get the nice bike ride.
That's good. I'm tired.
I know. We're both tired.
Sorry.
God, I'm just trying to tell a story. I'm working too hard.
No, it's good. It's good.
No, it's brilliant. Yeah, great. Hey, Carrie, thanks.
I just wonder how we should have like an update about your cell phone.
Usage. Oh, no, we're going to come back to it.
All right.
So, I'm not going to miss it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but that's what I do when I deliver plastic, because I talk to people on the phone.
I thought you listened to NPR.
Well, I do listen to it. It's freaking heaven. Hmm. I have a diet soda or a coffee, and I listen to NPR, and I catch up with people.
And then you call people and tell them, you wouldn't believe what I just heard on NPR. Write this down.
Oh, I know. I don't give NPR credit. I'm like, you know what I've been thinking about? what was I thinking of before? Something else. I mean, shit, we've been doing a lot of things. We've been going to kids' parties like crazy.
Yeah.
A baby is your key to obesity. People looking at me asking if I'm breastfeeding. I've eaten so much cake.
I know, the cake. Oh, the frosting.
Crazy.
Yikes.
Yeah, my nephew's birthday party, pretty big every year.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
And Quinn, I mean, he's just going to start expecting it. You know, every weekend we're going to go. This weekend... Got a little drunk Friday night. Saturday, had people over all day at the house. And then that night went to a wedding reception.
Cupcakes.
God damn. If you ever get a chance to go to the Indulgence Bakery in, I think it's Aurora.
Oh, you found out where they're from?
Oh, God, yeah. this is going to become like some kind of weird affair for me. Like, I've been trying to get a hold on myself. Okay. They are the most amazing thing. Imagine... You're really good, and there is a heaven with streets paved of gold. This would be the ambrosia that sustains us. The frosting and the pudding or whatever that's in the brine. I'm not a big frosting pudding guy.
Yeah, so the cupcakes, they have this massive chunk of frosting, which is just essentially butter.
Beehive of sugar, yeah. Oh, it's just butter.
Butter with a touch of sugar. Just a touch.
You know, it's all white trash if you're just cutting slabs of butter and pouring sugar on it and eating it.
But you make them fancy.
You make it fancy. You whip it up.
But not only do they have this big thing of frosting on top, on the inside of the cupcake, they, I don't know, I think they injected it with, like, goodness.
I think they put little seeds in there and it expands into pudding. It has to be something organic.
It's like chocolate mousse or strawberry mousse, depending on which color cupcake you got.
Yeah, I was licking the insides really in a rather good. Rude fashion. I mean, it was crazy. And usually, I mean, even myself, when you're leaving someone's, you know, the greatest day of their life, their wedding, you're not so keen on taking food that's left over because that just seems a little lower than should be possessed in a person. And we were taking cupcakes.
Yeah.
There was like 60 of them laying around.
I know. No one, everyone was leaving them. And we had four people at our table. And what were there, 11?
10 cupcakes, yeah. Or 11, yeah.
So.
And me, that was funny. Everybody at the table was waiting for someone else to grab one first. And I did, thinking, okay, I'll be the guy. And everybody was so thankful for me. They're like, yes. And they dove in. And then we each had two. And then there was some left over at the table next to us. There was a bunch of girls, you know, worried about their weight. Thank God. So that's all you need to do is, you know, if there's a good food around and, you know, some of the competition is female, to say,
gosh, how many calories are.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Right. They're so good.
One of those.
They'll be, oh, gosh, no, can't do that.
Yeah. And then just keep your eye on them because they're sneaky. Covered in spinach. Yeah, so their table, the girls behind us, all their cupcakes were left. And everybody was hovering that around that. It's like the middle-aged version of a keg is sweets. Everybody was gathered around it.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so it's Indulgence Bakery?
Indulgence. Huh. Sweet mother of the gods. I
can't believe you looked that up.
Huh. I didn't look it up. I asked the lady behind the counter where they came from. Oh. And she goes, where do you live? I said, Inglewood. And she goes, oh, it's a log drive. And I was like, lady, you don't understand.
I'll make the sacrifice.
I can do it.
Gas is $4.50 a gallon, but those cupcakes are worth it.
Well, I can ride my bike. I probably have to. And then Sunday, more cake and ice cream.
Birthday party.
A bunch of kids running around that were there pretty much just for an excuse to have a party for the adults. Quinn found that he liked mint chocolate chip ice cream.
He loved mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I love it when he likes something. He's got this thing. He's got like this excited rock and roll concert arm wave. Yeah, he claps. He's got his arms in the air and he's just rocking out. It's hilarious. Screeches like a little monkey. So yeah, the kid party was great because there was more alcohol there than your typical tailgater. It was good. A good time. It was weird though. Did you drink much?
No.
Because, yeah, I couldn't even feel it.
I had, like, one beer.
I wonder if it was, like, just kid party beer. It makes you look like
it was hot.
Yeah, because I was drinking the Bud Light like it was a sports drink. I just needed fluid.
Oh.
So maybe my body was reacting in kind. Like, all right, well, listen.
Well, you were running around doing
kid things.
Kid things.
So. Ended up in the little kid pool. They have one of those above ground pools. And you get a lot of kids in there. And I smelled funny.
Oh.
I did. It smelled like a pickle. It was weird. My shirt was wet when we were driving home. But yeah, it smelled vinegary.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't know, like pea vinegar?
I guess, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, what's the ratio after a while?
Yeah.
A lot of juice boxes and sugar highs. You know, somebody just can't control themselves.
And it was cold water.
Yeah, it was pretty damn cold. I tried to get quitted there, and he was like, what did I do wrong? All right, you can have the mint chocolate chip there, Pudge. So we got trivia. The something that I think is a sign, very well could be a sign of the apocalypse. It happened between the sparks and the shock.
I don't know. Is the shock a wrestler?
It was close to something like wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. Not necessarily the event. It wasn't supposed to be. Wasn't, but what happened? Yeah.
I don't know.
You want me to tell you now?
Yeah.
No, I want people to listen. So we got this full bots interview.
Fast forward.
And, yeah, go to about, it's 19 minutes now, go to about 30. So if you know the Flowbots, you'll like this interview. They're part of the Brain Revival. They're part of this new Brain Revival where it's not just me yapping. We're talking to someone who wants to make a change.
Won't you come on in? Come on in!
Good to see ya, friend.
Come on in!
We're wondering how you been.
Life's wide and road.
Put down your load.
Come on in! Come on in! Come
now,
on.
Stimulate your favorite organ.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the Brain Revival Hour.
If you're tired and sick and your tears are tumbling down, find yourself walking.
So what are you giggling about there, Tank?
No, I was just about to yawn. I mean, I was musing. Yeah,
I know.
I didn't want to do that.
You know, all great revolutionaries, I'm sure, had their detractors.
And then I realized
time to revive your brain.
I'm sorry. I'm just very tired.
What was the show you were watching the other night and laughing your ass off? I was in here working and I just, and you, every time you laugh, I think, is she really laughing at that?
I know. So I'm sure it's some awful reality show and I can't remember the name of the dude.
Run's House. Whose house? Run's House.
And I don't know why I was laughing. I can't remember, but
I don't know. I knew that's what you were watching. The guy from Run DMC.
I didn't know that that's who it was.
Totally contrived reality show.
I know. And I don't like reality shows. I don't like them at all.
Is this more mother breaking down than this? Are you breaking down into crazy mom?
Oh, yeah. No, no. Well, at least this isn't, like, something where people get voted off. Those shows, I can't stand.
What
I'm breaking down my reality show tolerance. Yeah. The ones where they vote people off, I don't like.
Well, it's cool to see somebody else's reality where they seem to have a lot of money and
no, that's not it either. It's not like, you know, I think it's because he has a family, really. I know that sounds so dumb. But it's nice. He came home and his one son's there to learn how to cook. And he's so excited about cooking. Like, this is, he found, like, what he really wants to do. So he's cooking everything for his dad. And his mom's there with the baby. And then there's, I think they're sisters. I'm not sure who the other kids are. But I don't like this.
This is mom there. Craziness. Look at the
I
whole
know,
there's
I
a family
know.
And there's a little boy. And the mom has a baby. Just, if you were pitching this to a show, the NBC, they'd be like, all right, oh, great, great. So there's a family? Ooh.
Okay, it does sound bad. But I didn't know that's who it was, so I was trying to figure out who it was. He was talking with Kid Rock, and you wouldn't think Run DMC and Kid Rock would get along, but I guess they did a whole tour together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think. I don't know. Anyway, I think the part I was laughing at, which I know, it's not funny. It was, I just needed, I don't know what.
You
I
needed the release. You're
yeah. And
a mom.
and he didn't. It was dumb. I know, it was just dumb.
What was the part you were laughing at?
Okay, so the so he has some record deal or something where he has to fulfill whatever his contractual obligation to have this a new album out or something. I don't know what it is. And these dudes are I don't know, they're English for some reason. They have accents. And they're on their way into town. And he had just gotten back from his tour or whatever. And he's in bed and he realizes, oh, crap, I got to meet with those dudes tomorrow. And they're going to want to know what my new album is going to be.
Yeah.
And he has no idea. And it's not funny at all. And so they come in. They're sitting in his kitchen. And they're like, so, you know, how's it coming? And he's like, you know, you'll probably have it by, you know, whatever, like 2 months tops, 8 weeks, you'll have an album. Even though he has no idea, hasn't started anything. They're like, oh, what are you going to call it? And he has no idea. Well, that's just how he plays it anyway. Of course, he might know. I don't know. So he's standing there, and there's a bowl of eggs on the counter. And of course, I can't remember what he said, so it's not even a good, you know, story, but...
Boneless chicken dinner.
Hey! How did you know? Did you,
because
were you
I,
watch?
No, yeah, I was watching that part.
Oh, really?
But then I came back here, and you were laughing harder at something else, which really scares me. You were laughing...
I was?
Several, yeah.
After that?
Yeah, I was back here, and I was working, I just stopped, like...
I wasn't laughing.
Like, I heard a plate break in the kitchen, you're laughing at this reality show. I don't know what else. I was there for the boneless chicken dinner.
Oh, then I don't
which was,
know.
Which was, I mean, dude, like, you talk about.
I know, it's
faked
dumb.
For TV.
I know, it's totally faked for TV. I know, but I couldn't help it.
No, I want you to laugh. I want you to have fun. I just, you know, we need to monitor the crazy mom and the apathetic dad syndrome.
I know. I'm trying not to watch those awful shows.
But you need to have fun.
Well, on this cable thing, I'm still trying to feel out which channels. And so I know 66 is VH1, 59 is Fit TV, 78 is TV Land. Like, those are the three cable channels that I know. Because otherwise you gotta flip, and it takes too long.
Yeah, Fit TV, that's weird that you'd sit and watch Fit TV.
Well, I try not to just sit and watch. I'm waiting for Shimmy to come on instead of at some other time besides 1 p.m. on the weekdays.
I know, just totally
how
designed
dumb
for
is that?
Women who married successful guys.
Stop it.
You know.
Well, I think they replay it at certain times. I just haven't figured out when.
You're good at the shimmy. I saw you do the shimmy.
Well, I only did it once.
It's so funny. That's a fun little sexy show to watch, but that one that's most intriguing is, what's that guy's name? Giggly?
Oh, no, Body by Galad.
Galad, I love your body. What
no,
he say?
Says, he says, thank you for trusting me with your body. It's just so creepy.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, we need some line that'll make the women feel safe with a guy who sounds like a creepy mythical character.
Yeah, it's very weird. Yeah, I don't watch it. I just try and see when Shimmy's going to be on. Or yoga. But they're always on, like, not...
I've seen you sit through, like, 3 hours of programming.
No, not on Fit TV.
I don't know, when you're down folding laundry, there's Fit TV is on.
No. No.
Which is that's what they need to do. And they've said the household chores burns a lot of calories. Is there anything like that where you do like a vacuum two-step or...
Oh, come on.
You just have to clean like I do.
Sporadically?
No, I mean with a great intensity. Like you're crazy.
Yeah, but not... Yeah, but you don't finish one thing. You like start sweeping and then you start
polishing. It's like a decathlon. There's several events. I'm going from event to event and eventually they'll finish, but you know, you're just catching me in the middle where there's it's half of the leaves are raked.
Yeah.
Part of the garden is weeded. A little bit of the house is dusted, but I you know, I just keep moving around. You know what? It's like the path of least resistance. You know, while I'm dusting, if I'm passing the mop, we'll pick it up and start mopping.
Oh, God. I know,
and I get to a point, there's something dusted, then dust a little bit. It's to me, it's like a beautifully choreographed spotty dance.
I like doing one thing thoroughly.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, I deleted the tiny chime. I'm going to get it back, that back in here. You like the tiny chime. Not mine, but that tells me at least you missed the last one.
No.
There were several things. Interviewees, maybe some advice for them, people using microwaves at the workplaces, or your new bread recipe. Which do you fancy?
I don't know. Oh, okay, interviewees, maybe.
Okay, you're dealing with a lot of people coming in for interviews, and you say you're slightly annoyed by them. Why? Yeah. And this is a good... And people are looking for jobs up right now, and they say, and I've always believed this, you have to impress the lady up front, you know, the office manager, whomever's out there, because, you know, and that's your first impression, A, and that's the person everybody trusts and talks to.
Yeah.
They'll come out and be like, so what did you think of the, you know, the guy from New Jersey?
Right.
And so what can they do to impress you? Or what can they stop doing to in annoying you?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many things. Well, I think first and foremost, get there. You know how they say get there early?
Yeah.
Don't get there 30 freaking minutes early, okay? You're going to be waiting. There's other interviews going on. I can't sit there and pretend to be interested in the conversation for 30 minutes.
Yeah, and you know what? That gives you too much time to screw up in the conversation.
Yeah. Plus, I don't want to be sitting at my desk waiting for you for, you know, that long. Anyway.
With Sarah, familiarity breeds contempt, and it happens quickly.
No. But I like having a nice conversation, just short. I mean, I still have stuff to do. I feel bad, but... It's true.
Okay, that's good advice. So, not 30, 10.
10. Come on in. Get just all set up.
There seemed to be some complaints about asking inane questions. These people.
Yeah, I did have one. I mean, I really am shocked. Mm-hmm. I think they just feel like they need to say something, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, there's the little nerves there. Maybe you should just put a sign on your desk. You don't need to say anything. I'm here. I'm human. I have ears.
No. The temptation I want to talk. I want to say it. You know, and I have conversations. I'm good at it.
Oh, you're excellent.
I don't
you're
like
wonderful.
People asking why are you on this floor. I don't know.
You interviewing 2 year olds?
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Why is the light bright?
I don't know. It's very weird. How come you're not on the 26th floor? That's what she said to me. This one lady said,
just trying to make conversation, you think?
Because our office is on the 19th floor. I know, but why aren't you on the top floor? And I just looked at it. I really don't know. Well, the lady downstairs said I should ask you. Like, oh, what did the poor lady downstairs have to put up with? What kind of questions did she get? Probably the same one. And the lady said, I don't know, maybe you should ask them when you get there, kind of thing. So she asked me. And then she answered the question herself, probably because maybe that space wasn't available at the time when you opened the office.
Well, why? I don't even get the question.
I know, me either. These are the things that don't need to be said.
Well, I ran into the teeth of someone even less patient than you with these kind of conversations. I was at a, we were at a barbecue, another kid's party a week ago, and you know, taking another couple months off my life with a whole bunch of cake. And I went to this lady sitting next to me in the lawn chair, and I said, "So what's new?" And as I said it, I kind of thought that was pretty lazy. You know, I admonished myself lightly to myself. And then she, why does everybody have to ask what's new? I've been to several barbecues and parties. Everybody's like, what's new? Ask what's new. What if nothing's new? I mean, that kind of hurts. I mean, what if it's just my same old life and my same old apartment and there is nothing new at all? And now I have to answer to you, someone I barely know, about what's new.
Wow.
Yeah. And but luckily, I didn't go running off the tail between my legs, because I figured there had to be something new. And I was like, well, it's just something people say. I'm just making conversation. And I told her that, hey, listen, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was feeling like I should think of something better. But she wasn't thinking of anything. You know, the silence there was kind of annoying. So, and then I was really, really missing it. But, and then we started talking, and it turns out she just got a promotion and a raise. And I was like, well, oh, dude, so nothing's new.
Yeah.
So there's all these people out there in the world that really don't have anything new, and you're acting like you're one of them. Mm-hmm. Imposter. So that turned into a neat conversation, but you have to be ready for that. You have to be able to turn that into something. I mean, this lady, I barely knew her. It's the little party. Just all she had to say is nothing. I enjoyed the cake, and then walk away.
I mean, enjoyed it.
Yeah, but...
low self-esteem, maybe, huh?
Well, but you think about that question. And before it turned out that, you know, she's making loads of money... and in this recent promotion, you think about it, that's a bad question to ask somebody who may be a little frustrated, especially someone who apparently with that attitude isn't getting any. And so there's no guy, there's no new guy. And that's I think the root of that is.
Yeah.
And so avoid the what's new, especially maybe you're coming to an interview. Think of something else. You know what I did? I was at a radio station the other day. There was a receptionist there. And I just said, Do you want to chat, or should I just sit here silently and read magazines? And it was great. And she's like, "Oh, God, yeah, I'd love to talk."
I'll see.
Yeah, and so we talked some. So
that's good. It's so funny that you asked that.
Oh, I did, yeah, because I was sitting there and it was just weird, and because she's like in this, it was just like the setup in The Office, the NBC's The Office. There's that little round thing and a small lobby, so. Yeah. She's got nowhere to hide, and I'm sitting there just kind of like a boring show to her. So are you going to stare at me, or am I going to, you know, is this weird, like the white elephant in the room? So, yeah, so there's some ideas.
White elephant in the room?
I don't know, 600-pound gorilla. I don't know, white elephant, I'm not sure.
I thought white elephant was the gift exchange thing.
I offered the gift of conversation.
All right.
I don't know, but yeah, but you can imagine a white elephant in the room and nobody's talking about it.
Or just a...
You're like, okay, is anybody going to mention the pachyderm? The pasty pachyderm?
Are you going to do the Flobots thing?
Yeah, let's do it here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not have heard of this song. This is... Handlebars, and it took him to the charts, got him some play here on KTCL Channel 93.3 in Denver, and I got to talk to the MC you're about to hear rap from this song from Fight with Tools.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. Look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crookedy. I can show you how to do-si-do, I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem, I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took, I can do anything that I want, cause look. I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone.
Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no assistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atoms of a molecule. Of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die from exasperation, have them all healed from their lacerations, or have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope. Telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust. 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 I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars.
You like
no
that, Tony?
No handlebars.
Yeah, gets stuck in my head.
I know, I know.
I don't really know any of the other words yet.
And it just
pretty much the no handlebars.
And you could put like your whole life to that little hook. You know, I'm gonna go to work in a car. In a car. Okay, so anyway, James Lurie here, and he's known as Johnny Five, Denver bass band, making it big. And right now, I'm catching you in California. What are you guys doing?
Just starting out our big national tour, so we're pretty excited.
Yeah, this is you've been touring a lot, but this is the first big national tour. Like when they say Madonna,
yeah, first full tour.
Yeah, like when they say Madonna is touring. Now you can be said in the same sense as the Flobots are touring.
Right. Yeah. A list of Family Feud category name bands that are touring. One of them could be Flobots.
That's big.
Yeah. Let's say categories. F, touring bands, Flobots is now a valid entry.
Let me just ask you this. If we were, you know, like 10 years from now, we're watching Behind the Music, where would we be in the 30 minutes of the show? Like, first 5 minutes?
Where are all the boring parts? Our band generates remarkably few moments that would be worthy of behind the Music.
That's good.
We comment on a lot. You know, we'll have an intense discussion about a scheduling issue, and then we'll think, well, maybe that would qualify, but
yeah,
there's never really good dialogue. It's just maybe you get some looks of frustration or something.
Yeah, so maybe not a great MTV reality show coming out with you guys.
Yeah, I think we got to stick to the actual music has to be really the I think that's our strongest material right now.
Imagine that, not your breasts, yeah, or your belly button.
It's weird.
It's awesome that there's a band that actually has a band. When you hear about a band that has two MCs, it's not often followed by they're trying to work on a viola trumpet composition. I mean, you have a trumpet player, how do you say this, a violist or a violist? Is it violist?
Violist, yeah.
Violist, yeah. Has Mackenzie ever smashed it during a show? Or?
I think, yeah, no, I don't think she has done that. I think maybe like a cake. There was maybe a cake of a viola that she smashed.
Oh, okay, yeah, because you don't want to smash the actual viola.
Yeah, the actual viola, I think it costs like even more than $100.
Okay, well, things get bad. There's some pawn shop material, but I can't see that for you guys. And I'm looking here at your national tour. You got a gap in late August here. Is going to be some DNC stuff you can do?
Yeah, and we're still figuring out what that week's going to look like. But our priority is to sort of, as our spotlight kind of overlaps with the spotlight on Denver, we'd like to really, we've been thinking a lot about what we want to say. And I think the main message we want to put out there is that there is there is a movement happening that is bigger than any candidate, any campaign, any political party, any band. And it, we think it relates to a shift in consciousness about who we are as a country, you know, accepting certain realities about who we have been, and then really planting ourselves firmly in hope and commitment to who we could become as a country.
Yeah, it is. You know, that's the thing. I'm going to sound like some kind of doting parent here, but I'm so excited about you guys because, I mean, anybody can get a hit. You know, they get Max Martin to, you know, put a synth beat together and a hook and you know, just talk vaguely about love or sex. But you guys, you're cracking the mainstream with actual messages.
That's the hope, you know. I mean, Handlebars has both, you know. It has the message and it has the hook. So we'll see with Rise whether people really want substance or not. I mean, it's obviously got a hook too, but I think Handlebars was able to get just, you know, widespread appeal because of the catchiness of the hook.
Handlebars is very catchy. As a matter of fact, anything I do now, I can put it to your hook. Like, I'll be dressed for my kid in the morning. I'm like, gonna put the overalls on, Quinn. Or, you know, just anywhere you go.
Right. It's got that universal insertability.
But you look at Rise and the popularity on the internet, it's as big as Handlebars. It must be weird for you. You go to YouTube, and there are these people who are taking time out of their day to do Flobot tributes.
Yeah, that was one of the moments where we sort of realized that, okay, this we've sort of arrived at a new level, is when we saw, you know, a girl in Chicago doing an acoustic version of Handlebars, you know, and that had several thousand hits. Once we began to see that this song was there to stay and would eventually make it to karaoke and elevator music,
What irony is that, that when you make it to elevator music is when you've really finally made it?
We're waiting for. We heard that we showed up on a Denver trivia. The answer to a Denver trivia question was Flobots at some trivia night.
So when you're on the show with Jay Leno, do you kind of just look out of the crowd and wonder if it's really you on stage?
I think the thing is you always know it's you, so it's actually a lot less weird for yourself than for everyone around us, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because we're just like, okay, this is what the set looks like. You know, oh, this is what it looks like from the other side.
How is it, when you guys, you know, you sit down to do some writing, it must be tough. Because I always see this with people who want to really talk about news and issues and not just talk about good and evil, but actual gray matter. There's so much. I mean, is there a filtration process? I mean, do you have to say, listen, we're going to have to simplify this. We can't. Because right now, if you wanted to write about issues, you could, you know, you could just have a 3-mile-long scroll.
I like to think of something that that as an artist, that personally, I like to think that I've grown and developed in that sense. That, you know, 10 years ago it was sort of laundry list of issues, and now I try to get more to the kind of emotional root of certain things, so that the lyrics have more of a timeless quality. But then obviously a song like Same Thing. You know, it was really, I wrote that first verse of Same Thing as sort of a reminder, to self, not to lose sight of kind of certain issues that were important. I was outside of the United States when I wrote that, and I find that whenever you're outside the country, conversations with people in other countries help give you a perspective that it's easy to lose once you're back. It's almost like a little memo I wanted to post on my forehead.
Did you have to wear a Canadian maple leaf on your backpack?
It was tempting.
From where you guys stand, you know, you see this success. Have you run into any issues where people are saying, okay, now, can you leave out some of the messages and just give us the hook?
No, we really haven't. And I think if we did or when we do, then or when that's even come up in discussion, it's been squashed pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, we know what we're in it for. And I think, honestly, you know, the label and the folks that have a financial stake in this, they know that too, and that's what that was part of the appeal. It just so happens that I think we're in a place politically in this country where our message happens to sell very well also. You know, so when things shift and it doesn't sell well, we'll see who the fair weather friends are. But, I mean, I really feel like the task at hand this year is not even about convincing as much as it is about organizing, galvanizing, and it being productive with a lot of the consensus that's been built.
And I was going to ask you about that. You guys have found what to do. It must be a great relief to find what you can do artistically and politically and socially all in one.
Yeah, I mean, that does really feel good. I've never felt more in tune with kind of my personal sense of purpose and life mission than than right now. I think that's true for everybody in the band. I think we all feel like we're doing what we're meant to be doing.
And you were talking about organizing, and you guys have found your niche, but what can other people do? It looks like, you know, flowbots.org is offering an opportunity for people to help.
Yeah, actually, the site we want to promote now is fightwithtools.org.
Okay.
What that is essentially a MySpace for music fans, nonprofit organizations, and bands to all connect and find ways to improve their local communities, get involved with other like-minded folks, and then have dialogue with people with opposite opinions and different opinions. Our feeling has been that there's a lot of inspirational music out there, and there's a lot of people who even have sort of organizations connected to their music, but we've never really seen a real kind of an infrastructure set up to help plug people in. And what we're trying to do with fightwithtools.org is say, hey, when you leave our show pumped up, energized, ready to make change, excited about the lyrics, we want to give you a next step that you can do that night or that morning, so you can follow up and take that energy and put it somewhere.
That's so important, because you'll see a band or a movie and you're all nipply and motivated, and then you get in the car and start thinking about cheeseburgers and it's over.
You know, and cheeseburgers are important, but we want to give people just that opportunity, because already what we've seen on the site is that the level of discussion in the forums is incredible, and people have a whole different skill sets than what we have, so they're able to take some of the slogans and the messaging in our music and give it some teeth and give it some thought and give it some real, apply their expertise.
Is it ignorance? Is that our biggest issue, or is it apathy, or neither?
Well, I think maybe it's a perception of powerlessness. We have not found apathy when we've been traveling places. We've found people who are really excited. We found people that are eager to serve. A lot of those folks are, you know, serving through the military right now, but I think there's other ways they'd like to serve as well. So I think it's a fear of, I'm not even going to say that. I think there has been a perception that people who are passionate about, you know, peacemaking or about trying to create a nonviolent America or a nonviolent neighborhood, trying to step in and intervene when family members are involved in gangs, things like that, there's a perception of powerlessness, and the perception is that, you know, we're not being supported by our government, we're not being supported by the music industry, the messages out there in the music, that we're fighting this uphill battle that's really like an ant versus a tsunami. And I think what we're trying to do through our symbolism and our music is say, you know what, all around the country there's other people like you that are doing things in their neighborhoods, going against the tide, but if enough of us are pushing in those directions, then the tide will change.
And it's fightwithtools.org.
Fightwithtools.org.
Also the name of your latest and current CD.
Absolutely.
How cool is it to be in your position where, for example, you can wear a shirt, America Will Be, on NBC, and you make that much of a change? I mean, it's got to be awesome to be in that position to make change.
Did you see it on the...
I did, yeah.
That's what's incredible about this. And, you know, before I was seriously doing music, I was working in Rhode Island with a lot of community organizers and working at an after-school program. And so from the organizing mindset, it's all about how many people can you reach with, you know, each specific thing that you do. And so the idea that we can help out local organizations and help point people towards them, it really is empowering.
So when you're not doing music, what are you doing? Do you have any time to do anything else?
No, not so far. There hasn't been a lot of downtime. I mean, I like to eat sushi when possible.
Hey, I just interviewed Yasu Kazaki of the Sushi Den, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but it sounds amazing.
I have indeed been there. One of my last jobs before this job was a busboy at Hapa Sushi.
Oh, really?
I love Hapa as well, but Sushi Den is glorious too.
How long has it been since you were a busboy?
It's been about 3 years, I guess.
That's crazy, man. It's been a wild last few years then.
Yeah, and in the interim was working over at East High School.
Yeah, you went to East High School and what, graduated?
I went to East and then I worked there for 2.5 years.
What were you doing there?
I was coordinating a peer tutoring program and then a mentoring program and a kind of a freshman orientation type.
Have you been the commencement speaker yet?
I have not.
Oh, dude, they totally got to have you as a commencement speaker.
Hey, put a bug in their ear, huh?
I'm from a little town and the standards are lower. I did a little radio and I got to do it, but you, it's your time.
There we go.
Yeah.
Where your radio voice comes from.
I don't even know if it's real anymore. I've been faking it so long, you know? And I try to make sure it's just me, you know, just to be genuine.
Right.
But when you first get in the radio, they're like, smile a lot and beat and shout, and you're not even you anymore.
But doesn't it just make you sort of talk? Isn't it just things that are actually better for all talking that you just learn because you're talking so much?
It could be, yeah.
It's like teaching someone good posture because they're a model. Like, it's actually good just to have that posture all the time.
Oh, wow, that's good to hear, yeah.
You know, I don't know, because doesn't sound fake. This guy's really good at talking.
You know? This guy's great at talking. That's a great positive spin. No, it's true too. Yeah, you just do a lot of talking and a lot of projecting, and then sometimes you just get a little self-conscious. You know, when you know you're at the dinner table and people are having a soft conversation about in-laws, and it sounds like you're announcing the weather.
Right. Yeah. Turn a knob to the left or something.
Yeah, I'll start speaking Spanish or something. So if people want to know where you're going to be during the DNC, August 25th to the 28th. What do they go, like flowbutts.com, will that have it?
Yeah, I'd say just keep your eyes peeled. Flowbutts.com, but we'll be trying to have a presence in other ways, too. I think when people see the Rise video, that'll kind of clue people into what's happening with, you know, what we're hoping to be sort of doing during the DNC. And it might pop up in other places, too. But we'll be around. We'll be around the city, and people in Denver will see us.
How is Rise doing?
I think it's doing well. You know, I think it's just starting to pop up on a bunch of stations. I know it's on Sirius Satellite. I know KTCL is giving it a lot of airplay. And, you know, we're really excited about that song because I think it, of all of our songs, it really sums up our messaging well for this year. And, you know, just musically, the just kind of the old guitar combination on that song, I think is beautiful.
All right, yeah, so people, Google Rise or Handlebars, or just get in touch, find out how to be motivated. And when you're here in Denver for the DNC, look up the Flowbutts and find out where they'll be so you can be part of this movement that is nothing but positive and can make a change.
Hey, man, thanks a lot.
Okay, this is the song Rise from Fight With Tools. This is the latest one. This is the latest hit. Tiny, take a listen here. Here we go. Have you heard this at all?
I have.
It's on KTCL. Oh, we're going to be echoing now because I have this turned up for you.
Much pain, we don't know how to be but angry. Feel infected like we got gangrene. Please don't let anybody try to change me. Me, just me in the middle of a sea full of faces, full of faces. Some laugh, some salivate. What's in your alleyway? Recycling bins or bullet cases? It's not equal, it's not fair. We're different people, but we're not scared. We ain't never scared to pave a new path, make a new street, build a new bridge. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Free slaves running, songs, words weren't right. Now a new day's coming, the few stay stunning. While the many are handsome, your soul is alive, but they want it for ransom. The bass drumming is the anthem. We step to the heartbeats of our granddaughters and grandsons and rise. Together we rise, 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 together we rise. And found me grounded by your surroundings. Did the walls scream universities, or you and I burst the T's? React automatic and we burst and squeeze and make 9/11 each emergency. Urgency, amber to red like the turning leaves. Oh, please let the hurt cease. Don't let apathy police the populace. We will march across those stereotypes that were marked for us. The answer's obvious. We switch the consonants and change the sword to words and lift continents.
Rise, together we 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 rise.
we rise, together we rise, together we rise.
If you believe in redemption, come and take us from another dimension.
From another dimension.
If you believe in redemption, come and take us from another dimension.
From another dimension.
If you believe in redemption, come and take us from another dimension.
From another dimension.
If you believe in redemption, I'm calling to you from another dimension.
What do you think? Good. It's not Run DMC.
It's no Run.
Oh, the Flowmots, they're going to be doing all kinds of stuff during the DNC. As a matter of fact, they've already done a little bit of protestation at the Rockies game the other night. Lockheed Martin was a sponsor, handing out American flags, and to protest the fact that Lockheed Martin would just be pimping the flag to represent war and guns and bombs and the stuff they make. They were handing out American flag bandanas. It's kind of like the represent. They were these like kind of like Jesse James like bandanas things, and they were freestyle rapping and making a big thing, and it was cool.
Huh.
Everybody was hot. So, but that's the thing with the Flowbots is they figured it out. This whole CD fight with tools is using the machine against itself. You know, usually you get protest bands and they're like, we're on this indie label and it's so important to us, our music, we love tambourines and the zither, and nobody gives two damns, you know. But the real work is to get in within the system, get a big contract like they did with Universal Republic, and then get the message out with mass appeal instead of some, you know, some harp piece nobody's ever going to hear. So, good. Good.
Good for them.
That's right. So, the trivia. Sign of the apocalypse. It just happened. I'm sorry, the air conditioning is on. So, it's a little loud. During your Flowbots interview, I wanted to throw everything. The air conditioning's on. I was powerless to get to it and turn it off. This just happened between the shock and the sparks.
Okay, tell me.
A fight, a melee in women's NBA basketball.
Oh, women's basketball.
Or women's NBA. I guess that's kind of redundant to say NBA basketball.
WNBA.
WNBA. That's right, dude. The so sparks and the shock. And here's the big story. Rick Mahorn, former Detroit Piston, who's now an assistant coach for the Detroit Shock, pushed Lisa Leslie, the LA Sparks superhero, the face of the WNBA, pushed her to the ground.
Ooh.
Dude, I know this is
good. What started it?
Somebody got fouled real hard and the chicks went wild.
Ew.
Yeah, so, well, and everybody's saying, okay, Rick Mahorn, he's a peacemaker. I guess in 2004 when there was that big fight between the Pistons and the Pacers and those dudes went into the crowd and punched the fans and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He went into the crowd. He was a broadcaster at the time for the Pistons. He went into the crowd and was pulling people off of each other. And so former Detroit Piston Bill Laimbeer jumped to his defense saying, hey, listen, he was just trying to keep Lisa Leslie from the bench. But, dude, the photographs are not pretty. This big dude pushing scrawny Lisa Leslie down, and it's like, oh, wait a second.
She probably wouldn't want to be called scrawny.
Yeah, well, she's tall and scrawny. Well, not scrawny. I don't know. Not voluptuous.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that, I mean, have we heard about bench clearing brawls in the WNBA?
No, I haven't.
Is this
heard
not just a little bit disturbing?
See, I didn't even know the names of the teams. I feel bad.
Well, yeah, that's why this tribute was fun.
Who watches the WNBA?
Nobody.
But maybe now they will.
Nah, exactly. Maybe the whole thing was just planned. They're like, we need to get somebody watching chicks wrestle. They'll be a little suspicious when there's a bunch of Jell-O on the floor. But,
wow.
It's a little bit weird for me to see this because the girls' basketball is like that civil sporting. You know, there's no dunking. There's no dunking and hanging on the rim and looking down and say, I'm just dominating you like a dog humping another dog at the park. It's like, you know, it's layups and lots of passing.
No, there has been a dunk, though.
There has been. It's YouTube, the first girl dunk. Bam.
Yeah.
There have been a few of them. There was one high school basketball player.
And dunking leads to fights.
And maybe this is what's happening. Once you start dunking. You know, and which this is a whole thing I'm going to start. Things that people do because they're vain and cocky, I'm going to turn it on their head.
Okay.
Some dude dunks. I'm like, wow, impressive that you can make it standing above the rim. Like, what, you can't make it from 15 feet away?
True.
Oh, and vanity plates. There was this lady driving ahead of me, just makes me so mad. Seven times mom. Big minivan. So she's been a mother seven times. So it's like, what, you...
Ew.
Yeah, I mean...
You just don't put any... Vanity plates are just bad.
Okay, yeah. Some guy had Exceller 8, you know, on his Corvette. And it's like, okay. You just want to stop and say, so you... Let me go back to the mom one.
Okay.
Okay, I don't have a good... But I saw that seven times mom. I'm like, you know, this is stupid announcing it. What? And you're thinking that I'm thinking, oh, wow, how incredible. No, I'm thinking, you're like a hussy. You got a tired vagina. That's a lot of kids.
Ew.
That's what this should be put on there. Sleepy guy or something.
Ooh, gross.
So when you see something that's cocky that people do because they're trying to impress you and it's just stupid, then don't compliment them. Just remind them of the stupidity. Thus, we'll bring down the level of stupid cocky.
I can only hope.
Yeah. Here's another example I was thinking of, too. Well, anyway...
Another thing, Ebert and Roper are no longer.
Oh, my God.
That's like end of the world kind of thing.
Well, save that. Save that.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll do these, because I have to do a review of the movie I just saw. And by then, I'll have seen X-Files.
Okay.
So, X-Files and the movie I just saw, Step Brothers. And your thing on Ebert and Roper.
Yeah, it's not like secret or anything.
But, you know, but your discussion would be enlightening. Okay, we're gone now.
Thank you for listening to Iwi and the Beast.